If you're staying with me today, grab your Bibles and let's go to Daniel chapter number 7. And I'm going to be honest with you. I want you to focus in and dial in over the next couple weeks if God allows us to stay in the book of Daniel. It's not going to be your elementary style messages. In other words, this is deep-rooted stuff that is about to come out. Over the next several chapters, you're going to see Daniel having visions. And if those visions are misinterpreted, you could really mess up your belief system. You follow me? And so today we're going to dive in and we're going to look at these things. We're going to grab hold of God's word. We're going to proclaim it the truth. Let every man be a liar and let's stand firm on its truth. Are you with me? Say amen if you are.
Amen.
You ready? We said at the beginning of the year, together, deeper, further. Say that with me. Together, deeper, further. One more time. Together, deeper, further. We're not going to go shallow anymore. It's time that the church wakes up and realizes that you just need God to be more than just your Savior today. You need God to be more than a genie in the bottle that you run to in times of trouble. We need God to be more than what we come in and use as a band-aid to try to make us feel better for the mistakes and the sins that we've made. We need God truly to be allowed to be the God He is, ruling and reigning in our lives. We need His word to become the anthem of how we live. We need His truth to become the promises that we stand on. We need an amplification of His Holy Spirit. We need the church to stop being so scared of what the Holy Spirit's trying to say and buy into what God is doing through the Holy Spirit, bringing us into dangerous territory when it comes to our faith. If your faith is easy right now, you probably don't have faith at all. Can I say that again? If your faith is easy right now, you probably don't have faith at all. Or you're trusting in something that has been instead of trusting in the one who is. And you're leaning on something of a success or something of an accomplishment or something of a ministry that you're involved in, thinking that being involved in that ministry makes you who you should be in Christ. And that does not work. Faith will take you to the edges of your belief and push you over. It'll take you to the edge of the ship and tell you to step out. It'll take you to the brinks of your marriage being on the rocks of ending or on the rocks of total success and tell you to trust God a little further. Faith will take you to the face of your sin and make you stand in front of your giant, knowing that the one in you conquers those giants and can deliver you from that sin and give you freedom today. Faith takes you beyond what you can see into the unseen of your life. It takes you beyond what you know into the things that you do not understand. Faith is not a comfortable way to live. Faith, but it is the only way to live. And today we need people that don't just say they have a faith in God, but actually live a faith in God, knowing that having a faith in a true, living, powerful God makes Him dangerous and you as well. It makes the call of God very, very scary. I'm going to be honest with you right now. If you stand up and say, I don't have any fear, I'm going to challenge you that at some point you're lying to yourself and you're definitely lying to us. Even Jesus had fear going to the cross, right? So today we're going to talk about something that's very real that happens in Daniel's lives. Up until this point, Daniel's had dreams that he interpreted for other people, but now it's about to get real for him. We briefly hit this last week, that Daniel lived his entire ministry never having known what it was like to be a free citizen. He was always in bondage and under the rule of king after king, oppressor after oppressor. And one day God shows up with a message for Daniel. Not for Nebuchadnezzar, not for Belshazzar, not for Darius, not for any of these guys, but for Daniel himself. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know about you. I'm in seasons of my life where I'm asking God for answers in certain areas. Anybody say yes? Me too. Anybody sometimes feel like Habakkuk that those answers are delayed in coming, that they're not immediate and they're not very clear and we really don't understand what they're going? Are you with me today? You know what I'm talking about? But what happens if God shows up and the message He gives you is not the one you want? What if the answer that He has for you is not what you desire? Matter of fact, let's look at John the Baptist real quick as you're flipping to Daniel 7 in your Bible, where John the Baptist was the, if you would, the pioneer that made the way for Jesus. He baptized and let them know that a Messiah was coming and was so on time with his messages that he was standing preaching as Jesus even walked up a hill and paused and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." What a cool thought, right? Man, I would love to be the one standing on a stage so preaching the truths of God when all of a sudden the eastern sky splits and we can say, behold, there he is. And John had this physical encounter. John was the cousin. He was very close related to Christ. And even in the womb of his mom, Elizabeth, was already recognizing who Jesus was in the womb of Mary. And you can go check that out where he's jumping around in his mama's bed because he's so excited about what's going to happen through Jesus Christ. But all of a sudden, John finds himself in jail, about to lose his head because a king got more interested in the women than they did the truth. And all of a sudden, the women says, I want his head on a platter. But before that takes place, John sends his disciples to Jesus and says, hey, I want you to ask him one simple question. Are you the one, or should we follow another? And that question is not coming from a place of what he knew. That question is coming from a place of what he feared. Because he believed Jesus was going to come, and he did. And he believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and he was. And he believed that Jesus was going to deliver the nation, and he did. But he didn't do it the way John thought he was going to do it. It wasn't a moment that a king rode in with an army and took a throne. It was a moment that a king rode in on a donkey and took a cross. And John is sitting there saying, hey, I was excited because I thought we were going to radically change the world, and now I'm in jail and you're still not on the throne. Are you the one? I don't know about you, but my faith kind of works like that too sometimes. To where I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, I believe you're God, you're Alpha, Omega. Yeah, name above all names, and I love you and you're Lord. But then the next moment I'm sitting there saying, hey, is this real? Is this a lie? And it's not because God has failed. It's because my circumstances aren't what I desire them to be. And when my circumstances become where I place my hope, I lose my faith in the one who controls my destiny. And Jesus looked at his disciples. He said, I want you to send a message back to John. He said, I want you to tell him, blessed is he that doesn't turn away. The person that in the middle of adversity stays. And then he gives this grim outlook. You're going to die. This is it. I'm not coming to save you. I'm going to tell you this right now. You may be sitting in here like the man sitting by the pool thinking that if someone would just help him get in the water, he would be healed. And you fell into recognize that there's a Savior standing by you that's got way more to offer you than just the water healing or a few cents or dollars to get you out of your financial struggles. You got a God that's wanting to secure your eternity, not your moment. Please write that down. God is securing your eternity. God is securing your forever. God is securing the from here on after, and they lived happily ever after is the end of your story. And yet sometimes, because we want God to get into our moment, we forget that he's still the God that is in control of our universe. We forget that he's the God that's still in control of time. He is time. We forget that he's the God that's in control of love. He is love. We lose sight of the fact that God has an ultimate plan, and we just want a temporary escape. Matter of fact, it would do us well to realize sometimes that when God has us in a circumstance that doesn't make sense, it's because he's doing a work that Satan cannot handle. He's making a way that Satan cannot stop. He's breaking a chain that Satan can't put back together. He's ironing out a road that Satan wouldn't be able to bomb with his best demons and his best air force that he could possibly come up with. He's doing something greater than just solving the problems of your life. He is destroying the sin of your life. And when destroying the sin of your life, it gives you the right to rule and reign forever in peace and comfort and in perfection. Sometimes I believe we go to church as Christians and we cry out for God to meet the need when God is doing a greater work than what you think you need right now. And as Daniel gets his first vision for his life, it's not pretty. It's one of, hey, this nation's going to come and destroy Israel. And then after that nation, this nation's going to come. And then when you think that nation's not bad, here comes, Greece. And Greece is going to, Alexander the Great's going to show up and he's going to wreak havoc over you as well. And just when you think Alexander the Great is the worst it could get, Rome is going to build, and Rome is going to conquer, and Rome is going to expand. And by the way, Rome is going to be what kills your Messiah by nailing him to a cross. And Daniel's sitting here looking and seeing these visions, and certain words come echoing out of the scripture that I believe today, if you're honest with yourself, would echo out of your hearts. They do mine. Let's read verse 1. Earlier during the first year of King Belshazzar's reign in Babylon, Daniel had a dream and saw visions. as he lay in his bed. He wrote down the dream, and this is what he saw. In my vision that night, I, Daniel, saw a great storm churning. I got that underlined in my Bible. Anybody else kind of feel like maybe sometimes life has a battle that's raging and you don't understand why? Anybody else in here trying to be good and finding out that even being good, your boat can get rocked? Anybody else in here trying to build a marriage and finding out that even trying to build a marriage, it can get rattled? Come on. Anybody else trying to raise kids? They went to school smiling, came home acting like they wanted to beat you up. Anybody else know what that's like today? All right, and you're wondering, hey, why is it churning? I want you to understand this. In the Bible, it says a storm is churning. And if you read the rest of this prophecy that Daniel's about to get, it translates this. There is a battle raging. It's not a storm. It's an attack. It's not just something that you're going through. It's not the burrito you ate last night. There are demons and angels at war trying to conquer what's going on in your life. And God's trying to deliver and Satan's trying to hinder. And while you're sitting there saying, I want my life on track, there's a hurricane coming. And it's not because of you and it's not because of them. It's because there is a King of Kings. And because there's a King of Kings, there is a peon named Satan too. Yeah. The great storm churning in your life today is what I would translate in two words. Ready? Spiritual warfare. Charles Spurgeon wrote a whole book on this. It's a hard read because Charles Spurgeon lived in the these and thous in the writing of literature. And if you take time and you would dive into that spiritual warfare, you would understand that it's real. I don't know why God has me and Daniel. The past four messages we've had to preach are not the fun ones to preach. I know this to be true. Anytime you talk about spiritual warfare to believers, they don't believe it. They chalk it out. By the way, the best thing Satan can do to get you in a place of danger is get you numb to the fact that he's real. The best thing he can do is get you numb to the fact that sin has consequences. Are you with me? The best thing he can do is make you think that it's that person that's against you. That it's your environment. That's why you're not happy. It's the things that are going on around you. That's what's making it. If you would just change your friends, if you would just divorce, if you would just leave, things would get better. And he starts lying, saying, hey, it's not you. It's what's going on around you. And Daniel's laying in bed realizing there's a storm churning in him. There's a vision that's happening in him. Matter of fact, have you ever felt like the world was caving in on you? Then it says this. It's on the surface of the great sea with strong winds blowing. Anybody else ever feel like you just got hit by a car going 55 miles an hour emotionally? All right? You know, come in here, and I know we're supposed to act perfect, but I want you to look at somebody, and if it's real in your life, I want you just to tell him he's talking about me. Do it. Let's do it. He's talking about me. All right. Now get that off. Now that they've confessed to you, look at them and say, maybe me too. I don't know about you, but I want you to understand that might not hit everybody in here, but there are times in my life that I feel like we're standing, trying to take on the giants, trying to take on, making sure we're ministering to people, caring for people, discipling people, raising them up, and out of nowhere, something will hit. Out of nowhere, it'll be a great day. And then that text came through the phone. Or it'll be a great day and somebody you love is now suffering. And it'll be a great day and now your kids are at war and they're battling sickness or health. Or right now you got hit with a bill that you didn't know was coming. Or all of a sudden something that you didn't see. As a matter of fact, they would call it this. You got hit from the blind side. The area of your life you weren't paying attention to. The area of your life you thought was covered. The area of your life that you thought somebody else had your back. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Don't trust a human to cover your back. Are you with me? Because to cover your back, their back has to be exposed. And while they may be in good intention trying to cover your back, they may be getting hit in the back too. The truth is this, hey, God did not design his armor for retreat. If you read Ephesians 6, his armor is to press forward. God did not design us to be turning around, chasing every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4 says when you're mature, you know the things of God are in unity and love, and you're not blown around by everything that's going on around you. You're grabbing hold of the things that are true that God has said. And today, we need believers that say this, it may be bad back there, but we're pressing forward. We need churches that are stopping. Let's stop giving up ground to the enemy. You know, we were having a conversation this week, and one of the things you'll never see at Grace, as long as God allows it, is a secular song used to try to bring glory to God. Our dance team will not dance to something that just entertains you, because we're not going to teach them. Well, you can do a dance team. My daughter's on a dance team, and that's not a bad thing. My wife was a dancer for years. What I'm saying is this. We are not going to bring the world into the house of God to try to get your attention. We're not going to surrender the ground. We're not going to. I had a call this week, and I by the way, I'm going to let you know something. Some of you might take more note of this. When you get off the phone with me, I don't immediately hang up. Not all the time. Sometimes I listen. Is that creepy? Anybody else ever done this? They forgot to hang up, so you just mute? All right. I had a client call me, and after we got done with the conversation had nothing to do with anything but real estate, and after we got done with the conversation, they kept talking, so I was going to see, Frida, you would do this. I want to see if they actually liked me, because if they didn't, they're going to go on to the next person, and so I hit mute on my call, and they said, well, his pronouns were he, him, and whatever, so maybe you'll like that. And I thought to myself, we're not going to get into that and bring that into the church to try to calm somebody's mind because we're using the right pronoun that meets their sin and keeps them comfortable. We're not going to come in here and shy away from an affair or different things of that because it's in our past and we don't like the scar. We're going to stand in the face of what's wrong in love and say it's still wrong. And it's not going to work for you. And some of your kids may not want to come to the youth group because they teach that there. We're training our teachers to teach them the word of God. Why? Because they get enough of the world education out there. They don't need a world education in here. Are you with me? God did not say, hey, put your helmet on, put your breastplate on, put your belt on, your shoes on, your shin guards, and all these other things so that you can turn around and run and hide because the giants out there seem bigger than you. By the way, I will say this. The weakest of the enemies are normally the ones that scream the loudest. When you are not afraid, you don't have to say what you believe today. I've been on phone calls that I muted and let the person talk. And I'm not going to defend what I know to be the truth. I'm not going to argue what I know to be the truth. Let them spill what they want to try to change in the Word of God. It's not going to change my mind, and it's not going to change my stance. So I'm not going to lose the relationship arguing the Word of God. You say what you need to say. By the end of it, the conviction of the Holy Spirit will hit you. He doesn't need me. But I'll tell you this right now. We're not going to retreat when it comes to the things of God. And that's what Jesus was telling John. Don't you dare lose your faith because it's not working out the way you wanted it to work out. And Daniel's laying in bed with the storm going on and the winds are blowing. And by the way, have you ever felt this last couple of phrases here? I got it circled. These three things marked in this verse in my Bible. A great storm churning with strong winds blowing from every direction. Anybody else ever say that statement of, I can't handle one more today? Fill in the blank. I don't do it out loud because it might be somebody's name. Shouldn't be, but we've been there before. Anybody else been at work and said, I can't handle one more negative person? Yeah, don't speak the ammunition the enemy needs to come after you. Because it's kind of like saying, you know what, I don't want one more person to call me today. What do you think's going to happen? You just really knocked on the door of hell and said, this is how you get me. Right? And some of us do that all the time. All right? I've been guilty. Anybody else every now and then, negative Nancy or negative Ken comes out of your life? Ken, if you're here today, I'm not talking about you. But anybody else ever have that moment? And as you're speaking, you're forgetting the verse that the power of life and death is in the... Why do you think the power of life and death is in your tongue? Number one, it can heal, right? It can use words of encouragement, but it can also equip the enemy of what you need to take you down today. And here it is, it's hitting him from every different circumstance and every different thing. Would you agree with me that the past Daniel had lived was not a great one, even though God glorified him in adversity? But then God shows up and says, the future doesn't get much better. Anybody else in here be a little bit shaken that you've gone through all this, and then you're thinking, I've gone through all this just to go through something else? Please write this in your note, and I want you to get it. The reward for overcoming your last challenge is your next one. And if you think, hey, you know, we have recovered a year or 2 years off of your addiction or affliction, and now it's going to get easier. No, here's what happened. You got stronger, so now you're going to go to big leagues. Dawson was in town. Many of you may know Amber and Dawson from Illinois. They're an extension of Grace is what they call it. They're probably listening as they're driving home right now. But Dawson sat in our living room for several hours, and we were talking, and Amber made this statement. She said, Dawson has big dreams. Which, by the way, parents, don't ever take the dream out of the kid. All right? Because you don't know what God planted, and you don't know what God wants to do. Don't ever discourage it. And so he loves the fish. And if you know anything about me, I am not the person to get fishing advice from. And as he was sitting there, he was talking about all these things in these tournaments. And he made the statement that resonated in my mind. He said, if I go in to professional fishing, I have to start at this league. And once I win so many in this league, it's a tiered system, then I move into a higher professional league. And then if I win so many in this league, then I move to the next league to where I'm out there against the big dogs. And he made the statement, if I get to this league, it is really hard. And he's saying, I know that to win this tournament, I'm going to have to get 5 at 25. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're saying. You're speaking in a foreign language. I'm imagining, you know, he's talking about catching bass. And the only thing I ever catch is bluegill, you know. And it's like, and then I don't really catch that much because nobody wants to fish with me because you got to bait my hook and take the fish off. And so the thing is, it's like, he's talking all these things, right? But as he said this, here's what he said. Let me break it down into terms. The wisdom of a 16-year-old. You ready? That if I want to become great, I have to be willing to be challenged. And then when I get challenged and win that challenge, I got to be willing to face the next challenge. And then when I win that challenge, I'm going to get a little bit tougher, but I'm going to face that challenge until I'm up against the ultimate challenge. And if I win that challenge, I can win $300,000 in 4 days. I'm like, sign me up. Let's fish. You know what I mean? Like, let's go. But the thing is what he's got at 16, most of us don't have at 30 and 40. We think that believing in Jesus is going to make life easier. No, believing in Jesus is going to make life more challenging. You just got a champion in your corner now to help you with the challenge. You've got a fighter that doesn't lose. You've got a Holy Spirit that doesn't quit. And you got a God that knows how to rule and reign. Yeah. I was teaching our boys in our youth group on Wednesday night, and I was telling them, you know, one of the things that we've got to remember, I was talking to another brother about it Wednesday night as well, is men, listen to me for just a second, shout out to the men. The Bible starts this way. In the beginning, God, say the next word, created. And men, you are made in the image of God. God is an adventurer. I mean, God is a warrior. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yahweh is his name. But one of the things we fail to realize is God set a model for how we should lead as men right at the very beginning. We should be creative. In the beginning, God created. Why did he create? He has millions of angels. We find that in this chapter, by the way. Millions of angels that minister to his needs. He controls everything. He didn't need me and you. We're just a headache. Another whiny little kid. I mean, I always say this. Have you ever played The Sims? How many of you in here? Come on now, let's be a little nerdy. Who's played The Sims? The Sims is when you control this little atmosphere, you get this little avatar that speaks in a totally different language that's not a language, but is very, very, very well. You can recognize when that thing is telling you off, all right? And it'll tell you when it has a need, all right? It's actually a fun little thing if you want to develop or, you know, waste your life. Don't do it, all right? But don't get... But you start with nothing, just a little sim in a little box, and then you got to get it a job, and you got to feed it, and you got to take it to the bathroom, and you got to make sure it leaves. Y'all remember those little furry pets that we used to have as keychains as kids? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I forget, the little pocket things. You'd be sitting in the middle of school, not supposed to have it at school, and it'd be vibrating your leg because it needed to go outside to the bathroom. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? And if you didn't meet its needs, it died. If you don't meet the Sims' needs, it walks out. It breaks up with you. You know, I remember last time, and it's been years since I played it, that Sim was yelling at me and freaking out. There was a mess everywhere in the house because, you know, even on video games, I don't like to clean. And it's got all these things everywhere. And it's literally shaking its fist at me. And then it turns around and walks out the door. I was like, I wonder if this is how God feels with billions of us that just sit there. And he's saying, hey, I gave you the ability to do this and the ability to do that. And just because he didn't do it your way or doesn't cater to every need, what do? We say, God, how could you? Or God, do you love me? Or God, are you there? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? That you are a great believer on Sundays, but by Monday, you are asking God to prove himself. And you're asking God that if he doesn't prove himself, you don't even know what you believe anymore. I can't tell you how many times I've thought it, how many times I've heard it on the phone. Do we truly believe in a real God? Is heaven real, Pastor Josh? Tell me if he's real. Hey, I'm in a situation and I just don't hear God. I just don't feel God. Do you believe that he's real? Do you believe that he's there? And we limit God to the results we want in our circumstances instead of saying, hey, God's a lot more powerful than the circumstance you're in right now. And God is not going to waste his resources in life on something that's meaningless in yours. Matter of fact, can I say this? There's some losses we need to have, right? A team that wins all the time gets cocky. If they never get challenged, they'll never reach potential. Would you agree with me that Grace is facing some challenges today? Would you agree with me that Grace has gone through some challenges in the past? You ever stop and dream? And I hope you do. By the way, can I tell you this? God did not call you to a church for you to never think about what God can do through you in it. So I'm praying that at night, sometimes you're waking up with visions and dreams. I'm ready for the young men to start stepping out and the old men to start doing, and the ladies finally to have some help. I know that was harsh, guys. I'm sorry. I took a picture Wednesday night. I showed it to all the boys in our youth group. So what do you see in this picture? It was the people praising and worshiping on Wednesday night. And they said, it's all girls. I said, okay, fix it. Fix it. Except for Bastion. Our little two-year-old Bastion. He was up there. He was ready to go. And you know what I want to tell him? Don't break it. You nurture that two-year-old so he becomes a three-year-old that's still on the stage, a four-year-old, the only man standing in a group of women willing to lead. Hey, and I'm telling you this right now, some of our wives need some help raising their babies, and some of our women need some help leading a godly life, and some of our men, they don't need, hey, I'll tell you right now, my wife and I were in an argument yesterday, and I'm going to admit that publicly, and she can confirm it in the chat, and Friday boiled into Saturday. Anybody else ever have those kind of fights? She's not here today because our kids are sick, for those of you that like rumors. So just take those, wad them up, flush them down the toilet when you visit the bathroom later. But here's the thing. As we were speaking, I made a statement. And sometimes I think transparency is the best way to learn. I made a statement that says, sometimes I feel like you pick at me. And she said, I am not a nagging wife. And she's right. Her pick and nagging are two separate meanings in my mind. And I realized, man, we do not even speak the same language sometimes, men and women, do we not? And so as we were talking through, and gosh, this is nowhere in what I thought we were going to talk about, but let's go. Ready? In this moment, as we're talking through it, she said, I am your biggest encourager. Nobody else in your life sends you the encouragement that I send you. Nobody else is sending you scriptures. She even said this, even you don't do that for me. And I, as much as I want to win every fight we ever have, had nothing to come back with except for, you know what, you're right. And if I'm not careful, the person I want to please and impress the most in my life is my wife. Thank God that's finally a priority. And if I'm not careful, it becomes an idol. And I'll start serving that more than I'm serving God. But I'll be honest with you, serving God is going to put me in the right position with my wife. By the way, can I go a little further, man? You're not in a right position with God if you're not in a right position with her. That's Peter for you. It's truth. You say, no, that hurts. No, find out what's got you out of position and just make it right. Isn't that the beauty of Jesus? He's not waiting with the history of what you did wrong. He's waiting with the truth of how you can make this right. Freedom of what lies ahead. And as she said those things, I started thinking about all those encouraging texts. all those things that are constantly coming through my phone. And this one revelation hit me like a ton of bricks. I try to vocalize it. Don't know if I got it correctly out, but it's this. One negative thing can happen in my life and I'll forget every positive thing that's there. Anybody else in here like that? You say one mean thing to me and I'll forget the 10 years of relationship we had before it. Why? Because the enemy is very good at making us feel like the one area of your life that you're weak in is the only area of your life that exists. The one area of your relationship that's hurting is the only area of your relationship. And because this isn't good, you're not good, and you never can be good, and you never will be good. Daniel actually commented and said some things that I think that we need to hear. If you look in verse number 15, after these visions start pouring out, it says, I, Daniel, was troubled. You know what that translates? Grieved. It goes on and he says, for all that I had seen and my visions, anybody else ever been here? Terrified me. If I'm looking at the America today compared to the America of the 50s, it's scary when it comes to church. If I'm looking at the America today compared to the America of 2 years ago, it's scary what we see happening. If I'm looking back in comparison, I'm losing my joy because the past is the past and it cannot change. But the future, here it is already written. And when God showed up to Daniel, he wasn't coming and saying it's about to get bad. He's saying, I'm going to let you know what's going to happen so that you can be ready. I'm going to show you where it's going so that you can know. And today, I believe we have a lot of people trying to heal from the past, and you can't. You cannot go backwards to go forwards. In the Serenity Prayer, we say, help me to accept the things I cannot. Ah, look at all of our recovering people here. You know it. Many of us have it plastered. There's certain things in your life you can't take back, church. Certain things in your life you can't undo. I'm going to tell you right now, we do not need the God of Billy Graham and his ministry. We need the God of what he's called us to do. And a lot of us say, well, we would love to see the rallies that Billy Graham had. It's the same God. I get what you're saying. But a lot of us want to return to what he saw instead of grabbing hold of what God has shown us right here. Those of you that have 5 kids now and you're wishing it could be like what it was when you first started dating, wake up. Number one, you're not as young as you used to be. Didn't mean to pop that bubble, but let's do it. Number two, if you got any children, you have very limited freedom or sleep. Anybody amen that? And some of you that your children aren't young, how many of you more seasoned people with older children? They're the ones old, not you. You're just flavorful. All right. If how many of you would say that even if they're older, you still lose sleep? Even if they're older, you're still parenting. You're still mom. You're still dad. And sometimes you feel like you're parenting more now than you ever did then. Yeah, you don't outgrow it, do you, church? Hey, I'm telling you this right now. We got too many Christians trying to live in the past of the good old days or in the future of what it could be instead of living in the right here, right now, and what God wants to do. Hey, the future has been written. The world will pass away and the lust thereof, but those that do the will of God will abide forever. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. If we were living in the days of Daniel right now, we would see that same storm is churning and there are things happening. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Isn't that what the Bible says? That there will be nation against nation. Even family will turn on family. That in the end times, it will be nasty and it will be ugly and there will be persecution. Hey, what we saw in the past, we will see again in the future. But the truth is this, the Messiah that came to save in the past is the Messiah that's coming to rapture in the future. And the one that conquered sin will now set us up to rule and reign. It will end better. It will end better. There is not a bad ending for the believer today. It may be hard today, but you are going to survive it. It may be difficult today, but you are going to make it. Matter of fact, he says, hey, this is troubling me and I'm scared. Look at verse 17. These four huge beasts represent four kingdoms that will rise from the earth. But in the end, the holy people of the Most High will be given the kingdom and they will rule forever and ever. Hey, here's the thing. Listen to me and I want you to get it. In these moments, Daniel kind of sets the stage of what we should do. I don't know what's going to happen with the Russia-Ukraine war. Does anybody else? I don't know what's going to happen with the midterms. Does anybody else? No, but man, we can waste hours trying to politicize this conversation and who's right and wrong. And I'll be honest with you, I think Satan's trying to lure us into that trap, because while we're trying to say Biden or Trump, people are trying to decide heaven or hell. Just saying. And as we look and we realize that all these things are going on, we got to go back to verse 15 and write down three things, ready, about your future, about your life. Number one, they're not always going to make sense. Life isn't going to make sense. Daniel couldn't figure out these dreams. Number two, sometimes your heart's going to get ripped out. Some of you today could say, I've seen what's going to happen to my daughter if she doesn't straighten up. I've seen what's going to happen to my family if it doesn't straighten up. And I dare say you could say, my heart is troubled, my heart is grieved. Number three, sometimes it's going to get scary. Sometimes you're not going to know what to do, where to go, where to turn, who to trust, what to lean on. But they had it right back in the Proverbs, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Smart as you are, it's not smart enough. As good as you are, it's not good enough. And as right as it seems, it may not be righteous. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. All right, let's break it down. In everything you do, whether you're speaking or working, acknowledge. And he will what? Direct your path. You know, there's thousands of promises in the Word of God. All of them come with a premise. Do this. And this is what God will be doing in the meantime. You trust him. He'll direct your path. You lean on him. He'll direct your path. You acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Stop trying to figure life out. Stop trying to figure the future out. Stop trying to plan every minute of your day. Stop trying to say that if I could just accomplish this goal, maybe this would happen. If we would just get rid of this, maybe this would happen. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Lean on God and learn how to be dependent on the truth of God rather than to be independent on your own. Trust him. Because sometimes life isn't going to make sense, and sometimes you're going to be filled with grief, and sometimes it is going to be flat, just scary. I mean, I sat last night just begging God for one of our children just to take a sip of water. I reached out to someone, and by the way, you always need somebody in your life you can trust with your dirt. You know what I mean? I have to stand up here, and most people would require me to have perfect faith, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I don't have it. By the way, I might not be the pastor for you if that's what you want. If you want somebody who's rock solid all the time, not it. You want somebody who's perfect, not it. Do you want somebody who right now understands that he needs God more than he needs anything else in his life? I'm that guy. Do you want to realize that, hey, I have realized that I'm capable of anything away from God, but with God, hey, I am capable of things I never dreamed were even possible. I'm that guy. Are we going to take a risk, and are we going to dive? Are we going to jump? Yes. Are we going to do even when we don't want to do? Yes. I'm preaching today with a heart that's grieved, a heart that's scared, a heart that's trying to believe what I'm putting out of my mouth right now. And you say, how can you preach something you haven't fully believed yet? Because the Word of God is still the Word of God, even if I believe it or not. Right. Are you with me? Wade sent me a message last night. Read Psalm 42 and 43. Sometimes you just need to start praising. My soul is troubled. I'm afraid. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. That's what David said. But I trust you. I believe in you. And some of us today, the world is so ingrained in our minds that we've got to figure it all out if we're going to be successful. And I'm going to tell you this right now. God has wrote your success story. And when he wrote you into the existence of the world, he recorded in his book the good things that he was going to accomplish. His plans were to make you successful and prosperous. His plans were to make you powerful. His plans were to use you for his glory. God did not write a story that ended in defeat. God wrote a story that ended with you standing in front of him at his throne, worshiping forever. But because of the way you lived and because of the story he wrote, not standing there alone, but standing with others that God has used you to impact their lives. I'm going to tell you this right now. We need a church that has a risky enough faith that you will practice it even if you can't believe it, that you will obey it even if you can't understand it, that you will seek it even if you don't know what it is, that you don't have to understand God to serve him, but you will try to learn God in the process. Let's stop trying to be a perfect generation of people that put on the perfect show, and let's stand up and realize that, hey, there's a lot about this that I don't have figured out, but the one thing that cannot change is I believe he's God, and we'll stand right there and we'll let him do what he wants to do. Daniel did two things that I'm going to challenge you to do. When the spiritual warfare of his life was raging so hard that he was grieved and scared. Look at this, verse 15, and we'll be done. Verse 16, sorry, I can't hardly see. So I approached the one standing beside the throne. Aren't you glad today we have an advocate standing on the right side of God, sitting on the right side of God, that when you cannot pray, what's the Bible said he does for you? When you don't even know your needs, he's saying, God, there's Cindy. She needs this today. There's Sandy. She needs you today. I know some of you are watching this today because you're recovering from surgeries, or you're actually sitting in the hospital, or you're sitting at home with the kids and you're wondering, God, how do I get out? I'm going to tell you this right now. It's not about getting out. It's about leaning in and trusting that God's going to bring something out of this. And in bringing something out of this, he'll bring you out along with it. He'll do something powerful through the story of your life, through the season of your life. He looks at Daniel and says, it's never going to get better for you when it comes to captivity. But I'm going to do something great in you. You're going to minister to the captives. Aren't you glad that when Jesus was crucified, he didn't just lay lifeless in a tomb, but instead he descended into the heart of the earth and ministered to the saints there? And by the way, just so you know, that little Easter preview story, I don't know exactly where we're going to be on Easter, but when Jesus came out of the tomb, he wasn't the only one. And a lot of times we like to focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the Bible says when Jesus died, the graves were opened. And not just Jesus appeared to many, grandma and grandpa did too. I mean, can you imagine being in a custom where you went to anoint the dead on certain days and you did certain things to make sure that grandma and grandpa were still, you know, while decaying in the tombs and the caves that they were buried in, you still had your rituals of making sure that they were nice and smelly good and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden you're going one day to put some frankincense on grandma, and grandma's standing there talking to you. I don't know about you, but I'd probably have a heart attack and need Depends. I'd be questioning if what I saw was real. Because when Jesus died and rose again, those that had died before could not stay dead because there was no more sin to bind them down. There was no more death control over their lives. And when he resurrected, they did too. And when he ascended, they did too. And I want you to understand this right now. You do not have to wait till the return of Jesus Christ to see the resurrection of your life, because sin has no hold and death has no grip. And right where you are and right what you're going through in the midst of not knowing what to do and about ready to give out, give in, lean in, and trust that God is going to do something right here in the middle of your captivity through your life that will resurrect the captives around you and set them free as well. I approached one of those standing beside the throne and I asked him what he meant. Number one, take it to Jesus. You say, what if I don't get immediate answers? Take it to Jesus. We're going to read later where an angel appears to Daniel and starts to tell him the dream and the meaning of it. And he says to Daniel, I would have been here 21 days ago. But I had to fight and war with the evil spirit of Persia on the way to you. I want you to understand this right now. You may be praying to God, and I promise you, God is dispatching an answer to that prayer. Immediately, God is already working on that. It may be delayed in coming because all of hell does not want what God is wanting to do in your life to happen. He doesn't want you to get the answers, and so in the meantime, he'll distract, he'll fight, he'll war against the angels that God has given charge over you to try to keep the power of God from reaching you long enough for you to give in or you to fall out. We need some Christians that understand that the answers are coming, the provision is there, that God has already dispatched it, that God has laid it out, that God has a plan, that God is a warrior, and you just need to dig in and don't give up, don't quit, don't turn back, don't give another drink, don't take another shot, don't do it. Don't shoot up. Don't take that pill. Don't watch that porn. Don't get involved in that. Don't you dare fall for the trap that while you're waiting on God, that God had forgotten you. It is not true. The enemy will try to hinder what God's doing in your life, but guaranteed this, the answer will show up. And as Daniel stood there and it's being revealed, as Daniel stood there and the answer's coming, hey, I think we need to understand this. You need to take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus and seek wisdom that only God can give. I took it to the one standing beside the throne and I asked for understanding. James says it this one, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men how? Generously, liberally. He dumps it out. There's a lot of my life right now I can't figure out. Anybody say me too? There's a lot of answers I want that I don't have. Anybody say me too? Oh, but I'm going to tell you this. I can trust that the King of Kings has not gone deaf to my cries. That even if I've gone deaf and blind to his voice and to a view of him, I have an advocate standing beside him that is still dispatching answers on my behalf, even when I'm not seeking the answer. That's why, by the way, those of you living in sin, you cannot outrun him. Don't be a Jonah, because God's good enough to swallow you up whole, to protect you and bring you back to the plan. We're going to stop right there. Because that's exactly what my heart needs today. Can anybody else say it too? Anybody else say, I'm hurting? Say it, come on. I'm hurting. Say it if you mean it. Anybody else? I'm scared. Come on now, say it. Is there any other believers in the house that say, even though I'm hurting and I'm scared and I don't understand, I still believe he's God. I still believe he's God. Would you just say it? I still believe he's God. I still believe you're God. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, say it out loud. Come on, church. Why? You're with me. Your rod and staff. I like to stop with you are with me because I don't want to realize that God still has a paddle and God still has a corrector in his hand, right? Your rod, God knows how to take you to the woodshed because he loves you. Yeah. Your staff, that's how you pick someone up that's hurting.
I'm hurting and I am scared. But I still believe you're God. And because I believe you're God, I'll stand on your truth, trusting that you didn't say it if you didn't mean it. You didn't lie to me. You didn't say you were the Prince of Peace if you wanted to just have our world full of chaos. You want to, hey, by the way, peace doesn't come from the outside. Peace comes from the inside. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. Some of you are looking for the peace that somebody else can bring into your life. You're looking for the I'm proud of you so that you can feel like you can stand back up again. You're trying to please everybody, and what's happening is everybody else is getting what they want, and you're falling apart. And God is saying, hey, I'm not trying to work on you from the outside in. I'm trying to work on you from the inside out. Oh, he fills our cup. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to give you this, and we're going to close. We're going to be out the door. Ready? Some of us are trying to pour out everything that we have in us to help other people. When God has promised that he would pour into us so much that there would be an overflow. My cup runneth over. And while you're feeling empty and while you're feeling broken is because you're always giving to everybody else and you're thinking by giving to everybody else and by serving everybody else that you're going to feel alive and that you're going to feel comfort. And God did not fill you up so that you would be drained. God filled you up and wants to continue to fill you up. God wants you to keep a heart that's a vessel that says, pour it in, God, pour it in. He wants you to be a seeker of his word. He wants you to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be faithful to a church attendance. He wants you to buy in to what he's trying to do because God will through you minister to others from the overflow. But some of us don't have overflow because we're dumping everything out that God's trying to put in. We're not resting in God. We're striving in God. And God never intended for us to strive. Not to be comical or cute, but he really did intend for you to thrive. You are more than a conqueror. By the way, can we say it this way? Did he say, Andre, you're more than a conqueror because of your works? Or did he say, through Christ Jesus? Nothing you've done. Everything he's done. So maybe stop trying so hard. And just trust and obey. Let him fill you up. I'll guarantee you, he didn't put it inside of you to stay there. God wants to bless you so much that even in the midst of adversity, pagan kings or pagan congressmen or something, congresswomen will look at you and say, there's an excellent spirit in that man, in that woman. And that even in the midst of a broken world, the minority of a believer can become the power of a generation. And we need someone, just one. It'd be great if 10 or 100 would step in and say, God, I will open my vessel and seek you so much. That whatever you pour out in my life will overflow into the way I live, to the way I treat others. I will be bold and courageous in my faith. I will trust you when storms are brewing and the enemy is attacking. I will take the things I don't understand to you. And I will follow through with what you tell me. So that your light can shine in a dark world through the vessel of which is my life. So that others can see you and experience you. Here it is, the way that I am. And I believe too much in our churches, we're wanting others to experience God without having first desired to experience him ourselves. We're asking God to save our children when we're still lost, to resurrect our churches when we're still living ungodly, to revive our nation when we don't even read his word and we don't even seek his face. And so our prayers need to say, God, this is a chaotic world and I don't understand it. But I'm going to let the light burn so bright in me. I want to have an experience and an encounter with you so that it can shine out to them from what has happened within. So we need to shine, church, and we need to stand. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Casey, this is a rare moment, to come just play. I'm going to leave you tuned in online, which normally I log out here, but we're not going to. Today's not a message that I preach that I think, oh God, somebody needed this. Today's one that I preach that I know in my own heart I need it. It's weird, as I'm preaching, peace is kind of coming into my life. It's a good moment. You know what it's teaching me? Proclaim it, proclaim it, proclaim it, proclaim it, proclaim it. Don't wait till you believe it, proclaim it. And watch God take what you're willing to put into your life and build something out of it. Many of you earlier said, I'm hurting. Would you slip your hand up? Where are you at? I'm hurting. I'm scared. I'm grieved. Slip your hand up. Raise your hand. The other day I was praying and I said, you know, God, I believe you're a God of healers, so why not autism? Why not autism? Why not my boy? And in the middle of the prayer, what started as a moment of faith turned into a moment of bitterness. Because the focus shifted off the one who could and can, the one who cares and loves, onto the hurt. And the hurt became the God. And the God got pushed away. For those of you who are hurting, grieving, I'm going to tell you this, you're not alone. And I don't mean to stand here and say I'm grieving for you, because right now I'm grieving a lot in my own life. I really don't have the room for you. I know that sounds really bad, but you ever been there today, church? Can we be honest? The Bible says he is touched and pierced with the feeling of your infirmities. I believe God deeply cares about what you're going through today. And as Daniel's having visions that are scaring his life, God is sending angels to interpret those visions. And my prayer for you, and I hope your prayer for me would be this, that God, in the middle of the pain, give a light of hope, a ray of understanding, an ability to see that even in the midst of chaos, you can do great works and great things. So God, here's my pain. I take it to you. Because I don't know what to do. Anybody like that today? Lift a hand to heaven and say, God, here's my pain. I take it to you because I don't know what to do. How many of you got some scary decisions in your life right now? Things that you don't know how it's going to work out. Don't know if your marriage is going to work, or you don't know what's going to happen with your kids. How many of you are scared right now? Just slip a hand up in the air and say, I'm scared. Okay. I don't know if I can't see you, but the balcony seems to have it all together. The floor is a mess. Maybe God just put y'all down here to be closer to the altar today. I don't know why. I'm going to invite you to come to an altar today to take up what Daniel did. When I saw this vision, I was troubled. I was grieved. And I was terrified. So I took it to the one standing by the throne. And I asked for understanding. Hey, listen, I'm not calling you today to come to an altar and ask for guidance or answers and figure this out, God. I'm asking you, if you don't know how to deal with the hurt of your life, or you don't know what to do with the scary of your life, would you just, whether it's your home or whether here, would you just find a place and get to God and say, God, all I know to do right now is bring this to you. And you said that if I needed wisdom, I could ask and you would give it. So here I am. And I'm not asking you, God, to show me the end. Just give me the strength to take the next step. Give me the vision to know what the next step is. And give me the courage to do what I need to do to move forward with you today. So today, I'm going to have Casey, if you've got a song that you can sing with what you're playing, would you stand to your feet at your home or here? Can you bring it to God and say, the storm is raging, the winds are blowing, I don't understand, so I am coming to the one who holds my name on the palms of his hands. I'm coming to the one who's carried my burdens, who's carried my shame, the one who has conquered my guilt. And I know that if you can conquer my sins, and if you can offer me eternity, then you can meet me right here. You can meet me right now, and you can do right here, right now, what you want to do. And so, God, I'm not asking you to bring yourself into my will, but instead bring my heart into your will and make me okay with what you say and what would you have for my life. And so here it is. Just give me understanding. Give me courage. Give me the ability to take the next step. So stand to your feet and bring it to the one. Bring it to the one. You move. We're not going to delay. I'm not going to beg you. Casey, you sing, and then we'll close.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross with my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. What can I say? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. And I walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me. My life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. And what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely.
Church, I hope that you will grab hold of the fact that we are in a generation that has never more needed solid, rooted Christians with boldness and love, standing on the gospel of God, believing,
believing. We got to believe that God can change anything in a minute, in a second. He could rescue anyone in any need, restore any heart, any family. We have got to get uncomfortable, and we have got to stretch a little bit further than we are right now. We've got to get a little more surrendered and a little more open, a little more honest, with a big faith and a big God that can blow our minds. I'm going to have Garrett come close us just so he knows he's not fired from announcement. That makes sense if you were here, doesn't if you're online. But hey, don't forget three things as he comes. Number one, Easter. Two services. None of them at the time you're used to. 9 and 11 o'clock. Invite somebody. Don't go invite a church person that's going to church. Does that make sense? Go find someone who doesn't go. They're more likely to come to this service than any other time of their life. And if it's the only one they come to, by the way, we're not going to be the church that walks around and says, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. We're going to be the church that walks around and says, it's so good to see you. We're not going to be the ones that try to put on a show. There's no special dance that day. No special music. Just normal. Because if it's not real when it's not Easter, then why try to put on something that's different just because it's a holiday, right? So bring somebody 9 and 11 o'clock. Go find the unbeliever. Encourage the believer to be at their church, finding an unbeliever to take with them there. April the 30th. It's a Saturday in April. April the 30th. They're calling it Guns and Grub. A lot of food, award-winning barbecue. Chris never tells us out here, but he is a nationally award-winning barbecue cooker. So it's going to be good food. Teenagers, you're welcome. Guys, you're welcome. We want to have you there. We'd love to have you there. It's going to be amazing. The LOC needs those supplies. I'm sure Tracy could help you out with that too. Tracy's right over here to my right. I'll just have her stay frozen in that moment, a purple sweater. She can give you the things that they need. I hope you'll dial in. Last thing I'm going to say is this. We need passionate people that love children enough to realize they need a foundation of the gospel. They're getting too many foundations of the world put into their lives every single day. And we need, whether you're a junior, senior in high school or above, some people that are called by God not to fill a position, but have a passionate desire to plant the things of God in a young generation to meet us out here, go out these doors straight into the modulars in the middle room for a meeting on children's ministry. It's one of the most important meetings I believe we've had in a very long time. If you're a current teacher, be there. If you're thinking about it, or maybe right now God's kind of twisting saying, hey, think about it. Don't seek the calling. Just go get the information. Let God work on that. That's going to start in 5 to 10 minutes. Grab your children. Drop them on the playground. Come on out. Or if they want to come with you, bring them on out. We'll see you there. As a result of that, I'm only spending 5 minutes at the back door. So come hug me fast, all right? We'll do our germ swap and then we'll go. All right? We love you. I hope you have a blessed week. Please go shine a light. Not yours. Shine His in your life and watch what God can do. Garrett's going to close us in prayer and then you can consider yourself dismissed.
All right. And one quick thing I just want to just mention, and that said, as we can see Josh's heart as he's pouring it out, some of the challenges he's going through right now too, a lot of that is because God has laid a lot of things on this church that he wants to do and accomplish. And whenever a church is willing to do those things, especially the leadership, is going to be attacked. And so I would just ask you people to pray for Josh, for his family, for the leadership, and make sure that, number one, we're willing to accept the challenge and fight back. But number two, just so that we don't take the easy way out, because it's a lot easier to not accept the challenge, because then you don't get the persecutions. So please pray for the church. And I'm not saying that just because I'm happy they didn't fire me for doing the announcements, but I do think it's critically important. The time that we're coming into the Christian church right now, it needs prayer, and we need prayer. Everybody in there needs prayer. And on that note, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the message that you've laid on Josh's heart and the book of Daniel that we're going through, Lord. He was such a great example of a godly man for us to see in the faith that Daniel had through all his generations that he lived and through all the different kings that he lived through. Lord, I just pray that we might be even a fraction of have the fraction of the faith that Daniel had and the obedience that he had. Help us, Lord, in these times to be able to know what your will is, to stay in your word, to stay in prayer, and to hear what you have to say to us. We love you, Lord, and we lift this all up in Jesus' name. Amen.